When God put it upon my heart to start this back 4 years ago, I said, God, the one I want to have someday is John Bishop. Someday I'd like to have him come and speak to the men, and today's it. He's going to be an encouragement. God's going to use him to be a blessing and a help to you. And I appreciate him coming all the way out here, and you preach what God's laid on your heart.
Thank you. I sure am grateful that Brother Schmidt and Brother Rogers have taken upon themselves to have this meeting. Boy, that great singing too, wasn't it? All the music, everything has just lifted my heart up, and I've been helped. If nobody else has been helped, I've been helped. I'll tell you that. I've asked Pastor Rogers to read my scripture for me. My blindness is not total, but it is such tonight and was this afternoon that I'm not able to read. So I'm going to get him to read the scripture for me. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We were there earlier today, for those of you that were in that meeting. For those that weren't, the title of my series is Don't Miss the Blessing. Don't miss the blessing. And I gave 2 points this afternoon: discouragement and deceit. Those are 2 things that can cause you to miss God's blessing. Discouragement, which can happen to all of us. I remember one time a pastor introduced me this way. He said, here's Brother John, and he's had all these things happen to him, and he never let it get him down. Well, I never correct a pastor, but I did ask the pastor when I got up if I could clarify something, he said. He said, yes, that's fine. I said, Pastor, the truth is, I did let it get me down. I just didn't let it keep me down. Everybody gets down once in a while, but we can't stay there. By the grace of God, we got to get back up. Now, if you'll stand with me, the pastor is going to read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 29.
I'm going to where?
I'll tell you when to stop. You just start reading.
I'm
going to get you.
I'm going to meditate on that. By the way, would you pray for this man? He is hurting. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers.
That's plenty. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word to us. I pray that we would learn 2 more important lessons tonight about not missing the blessing. I pray not a man here would miss the blessing, not only for his life, but for his family. Lord, families missed the blessing. Whole families had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because dad didn't do the right thing. I pray you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am going to apologize to Pastor Getch already. I've asked Pastor Rogers to take me back to the room after I finish tonight. I am hurting quite a bit, and I would appreciate you praying that I will keep a clear mind while I'm preaching this message tonight. But I'm going to have to get back and lay down and get ready for in the morning. This next point that we see in Deuteronomy 1 said, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. Doubt caused them to miss the blessing. Listen, I'm glad I used the old King James Bible. I don't doubt it. It's been preserved for me. And I thank God for it. Because I'm not a good reader, I can't read my Bible daily, but I can listen to it on my cell phone. And I've got the old King James Version, and I listen to about 9 or 10 chapters a day, just flooding my mind and my heart with the Word of God. And I love it. It just feeds me. And I thank God for it. It energizes me. It really does. When I got real discouraged, there were two things that God used to help lift me back up. And one was the Word of God, and the other was good godly music. Now notice I said godly, not just Christian. Because not every Christian song is a godly song. And music like we heard tonight has been godly music. And that's what we need. And I have lots of that on my phone too. And I can just put my earplugs in and listen to them when I feel down. And God uses that to lift me back up. Men, get rid of that country music. Get rid of that rock music. Get rid of that stuff. Get back to some godly music. That's the reason some of you are struggling so much. You're listening to wrong kind of music. I know you think, Brother John, he just doesn't know what he's talking about. I know I may not be all here, but I'm here enough to know that much. It's like when I woke up and I first had to learn how to kiss. I would miss my Donna's lips, but I kiss till I find them, buddy. I tell people at least I knew I post-kiss a woman, not a man, when I woke up. I wasn't that far gone. But we need to stay in godly music and godly things. Godly books. They'll help you. I miss being able to read like I used to. I really do. Because there's some godly literature out there that can help you. And not spend so much time in front of the television set, but get some godly things surrounding your life, and that'll help you. Well, I've done made most of you mad. Let's just go on, though. I already know some of you shut me off, but I'm going on anyhow. Now, they doubted whether God could do it or not. Don't doubt what God can do. He's a mighty God. He's a great God. I thank the Lord for it. You know, after about 6 months, I still wasn't walking well, but I went to a dealer where they sold scooters, Honda 80 scooters. And I said, I believe I could drive one of them. And I did. Everybody's surprised, but I did. And it was so much a blessing to me because everybody had to do everything for me. But when I could get on my own scooter and drive to town and drive to the hospital and drive and visit my sick and afflicted people in their homes, it was such a blessing to me. Now, I wrecked every month, but it was a blessing anyhow. I hit trees, fences. I only hit one car, that a police car. He was parked where I wanted to go. I went in and confessed to him in the barber shop there, and he said, that's all right, I won't write you up this time, but don't do it again. I said, I won't. I never did either. But, well, let me just tell you my first wreck that I had. This 18-wheeler blew past me on the road, and I got caught up in the tailwind. And it drug me off the road to the gravel on the side. And loose gravel is terrible in a scooter. So that scooter tipped over and both me and it went sliding along the side of the road there. The guy that was behind me in a car pulled off to see if I all right. And when I get nervous, I have hard time talking. And I'm worse when I'm nervous. And this guy said, I said something to this guy, and he said, you're drunk. I said, I'm not drunk. I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, well, you're a drunk Baptist preacher. Somebody that knew me stopped and told him, no, he not drunk. He had meningitis. And so he didn't call 911 on me. I was so glad of that, buddy. And so I thank the Lord that even through those wrecks, people never thought I would live, but I drove for 5 years. And then I actually got to where I could drive a car for about 2 years. I drove a car before the seizures began to get worse and my eyesight began to go. And even though I can't drive either one, well, I drive my scooter around the campgrounds. I just tell the kids, get out of the way. I'm coming through. I can tell when I hit a girl, they make more noise. But I love to keep going. I really do. I'm able to teach a class time each week at our camp. And I love to teach that class time and just love on those kids and be a help to them and encouragement to them in every way that I possibly can. But doubt, don't let it cause you to miss the blessing. Did you know those men that let doubt ruin them, ruined it for their whole family for 40 years? Now their children, thank God, below the age of 21, their children were able to go in. But they had to wait around for mom and dad to die. What a sad thing. Men, don't be the cause of your children and your wife missing God's blessing. You make the difference. It was those men that made the difference and caused their children and wives to miss all the good things that God had for them. And even though they had to wait around for their parents to die, just think of all the suffering those children went through waiting for that day they would get to go into the promised land. The last point tonight I give you is delay. Discouragement, deceit, doubt, and delay. They put it off. They said, we can't do it. We won't do it now. They talked like they could choose and make God choose when they would go and when they wouldn't. But God said, because you've told me no, and according to the book of Numbers, 10 times they told God no. It wasn't just one time. We might get that impression if we went only by the episode in Deuteronomy, but you put it with Numbers and you'll find out that it was more than one time. 10 times they told God no. Oh, what a sad, tragic tale that is. You know, I tell you something. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I want to do it now. Men, don't wait till later. Later may never come. I remember one time, it wasn't too long after my illness of the septic meningitis. And that has left me dealing a lot with pain issues, cluster migraines, and other issues such as that. And I was seeing a doctor, and the doctor said to me to come back. We went back and he said, John, I'm going to have to do surgery on you. He said, most of the time when I do this surgery, I put the patient asleep, but I cannot put you to sleep. You've had the meningitis and we're afraid to put you to sleep. You might not wake up. And then he said the other alternative is to give you a spinal block. That's where they put a shot into your spinal cord. And it causes you to be numb. When wherever that shot was given down, you'd be numb. And you'd be awake, but you wouldn't feel anything. And he said, John, I can't do that either because we can't put anything in your spinal cord at this time. I'm going to have to do it with you awake. I told him, I said, please, doc, don't do it. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. He said, John, I must. You could hemorrhage and die. So I remember when they took me in that room, they took 2 sticks, and they wrapped a bunch of gauze around it and put tape over it and put it in my teeth so I wouldn't break my teeth. And I asked them if my Donna could please stay with me, and they said yes. I gripped her arm so hard that it bruised her from her wrist clear to her elbow, almost was bruised from holding on to it and me clenching. I didn't think I could make it through that. I really didn't. But I did. I made it through it. I faced something I thought was impossible, and I made it through it. I don't know what you're facing tonight. You may be facing something you think is impossible, but with God's grace, you can do it. God is a God of all grace and the God of all comfort. Thank God that He is. I remember hearing the doctor after that surgery say, "I'll never do that again as long as I live." And I remember thinking, "I know you want me, buddy." I would never want to be put in that situation again. And I've had surgery since then, and they now can put me to sleep and do those other methods. But I want you to know, there will never be anything too much for you in God's grace. There will never be anything too much for you in God's mercy. There were two things that helped me through life after my illness. And that two things is, I believe God is always good and God is always right. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God was right the day I became sick with meningitis. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, did He use His hand to put that germ in my brain? And if He says yes, I'm going to ask Him, which hand was it? And then I'm going to kiss it. Amen. And I'm going to thank Him for it. Because God, by allowing that germ to go into my brain, has allowed me to help more people than I've ever helped before. One of reasons I sure Brother Tim have me night is because of part of what I've been through. And I want you to know tonight that nothing you'll ever go through will ever be wasted on God. God will use it. So trust Him. Say, God, I believe You're good. No matter what's happened in my life, I believe You're good. God, I believe You're right. No matter what has taken place, if I understand not, I still believe You're right. You can make it through anything that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You so much, Your word. Thank You for helping me tonight, Lord. I appreciate it so much. And Lord, I ask of You to just use these few moments with these men. Help us to know that we're the cause of our families missing or experiencing the blessings of God. God, don't let us be the cause of them having to wander in the wilderness. Oh, Lord, please keep us from that. Now, bless this message and these songs that we've heard. Bless them to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You so much. God bless you.